Well, hello, friends. Tonight, I want to talk about our true hope. But first, I want to share with you my favorite book, and it's right here. It's called Lord of the Rings, and it's an incredible story. Maybe you've read this book, or you've watched the movies, or maybe both. You know, in this story, there's a Dark Lord, and the Dark Lord creates a ring that looks kind of like this. And he creates this ring. Well, it's actually scary. He creates it to enslave everybody. But the good guys, they fight back. And yet they can't win because they have to destroy the ring to win. And they don't know who's going to do it. Who will destroy the ring? Well, a hobbit, a little guy named Frodo, volunteers to take the ring on a dangerous journey to Mount Doom to throw the ring into that ancient fire and destroy it. Now, this is an incredible story with some incredible moments. One of my favorites is when the elf Glorfindel, in the movies it's the elf Arwen, they face down these dark wraiths at the river, refusing to hand an injured Frodo over. There's also the moment when Gandalf the Wizard fights the fiery Balrog on the bridge of Khazad Dûm. Oh man, those are incredible moments. But, you know, there's a part of the story that has always stayed close to my heart. And it's when Frodo and his best friend Sam are traveling by themselves in the Land of Shadow. Now, they feel all alone. They don't have any mighty warriors. They don't have a wizard around them. They're journeying by themselves. And they climb a craggy cliff out of the way to make a small meal and then fall asleep. But Sam stays up, and he looks up at the night sky. And this is what it says. Let me read it for you. Far above the Ethel Duath, in the west, the night sky was still dim and pale. And there, peeping among the cloud rack above a dark tor high up in the mountains, Sam saw a white star twinkle for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart as he looked up out of the forsaken land, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end, the shadow was only a small and passing thing. There was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach. You know, in many ways, we are in our own land of shadow. COVID has left many of us feeling hopeless and alone. Many of us can't be with our families this Christmas. And when we think about the future, it often feels bleak and grim. You know, we're like the shepherds in our Bible reading that we heard today. They also lived in their own land of shadow. The empire had come and taken over their cities and their towns and their homes. And when they looked at their future looked bleak and grim too. And yet when they looked up at the night sky, they saw an angel. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, behold is a funny word, isn't it? We don't really use it anymore. And yet, if we look at our most ancient Bibles, the word behold always shows up. It's actually an important word. And it means something like be perceiving or be understanding. Now, here's a question. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that our social bonds, our friendships will fail? Are you afraid that our economy will fail? Are you afraid that our health will fail? That things will never be the same again? Well, the angel says to us, behold. The angel is inviting us to grasp, to understand, to internalize, to rejoice in the gospel. And if you do that, your fears in your heart will be undermined. But what does gospel mean? Well, the gospel means it's good news. And so what good news are we supposed to be beholding, perceiving, and understanding? Well, the angel points it out. A Savior is born. You know that light that Sam the Hobbit saw high up above the mountains that smote his heart? That high beauty, that light, has come down from heaven to us and was born in the manger. That little baby in the manger is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And so we're invited to think, to perceive, to ponder this beautiful hope, this truth. You know, if God gave up all splendor and glory to be born in a manger to bring you hope, that's a God you can trust. You know, here's a little fact that your parents or grandparents might remember. That in 1961, the Russians put the first man in space. And when the cosmonaut got into space, he said there was no God up there. So C.S. Lewis, that famous author of the Chronicles of Narnia, well, he wrote a response to the cosmonaut. And this is what Lewis said, and I quote, "If there is a God who created us, we could not discover him by going up into the air. God would not relate to human beings the way a man on the second floor relates to a man on the first floor. He would relate to us the way Shakespeare relates to Hamlet. Shakespeare is the creator of Hamlet's world and of Hamlet himself. Hamlet can know about Shakespeare only if the author reveals information about himself in the play. So too, the only way to know about God is if God has revealed himself." You know, the claim of Christmas is infinitely more wonderful than that. God did not merely write information for us to find in the world. God wrote himself into the drama of history. God came into our world as Jesus Christ to save us, to die for us, so that we could experience God's hope and love. My question is, won't you trust the one who has done all this for you? The angel is saying, "Do you want relief from your fear? Behold, look at Christmas. Look at Jesus. Look at all he's done for you." And if you behold, if you perceive, if you understand, if you grasp at this hope, this treasure, and then you ponder on it and you place it at the center of your heart, then those fears in your heart, they will start to diminish. So I say to you, fear not. Behold Jesus Christ this Christmas. Amen.